for just a chance to worship you tonight. Thanks to these guys giving their time to prepare and lead us tonight. I pray that our hearts would be totally yours, God. And I pray tonight that we'd hear from your word and we'd be encouraged by it and we'd be challenged by it and we'd recognize, Lord, in our lives where there are things in kingly places that shouldn't be there. And God, I pray that you'd speak to all of us, that your word is alive and active and it penetrates even the most divided of souls. So I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, if you weren't able to be with us, we talked a little bit about just this idea, this King Me series that we're on, and we're going to wrap this up tonight. We talked about the people of Israel and how they wanted to have a king in their place. They wanted a king, they wanted to look like they had it all together. And they wanted to bring on this king named Saul. And Saul was a king that looked the part. He certainly was one that they thought would satisfy their needs. He'd be the king that they always wanted. And we talked about how in our lives, as high school students, how we can put things in kingly places. I don't know if that's a struggle for you, but it is for me all the time. And the main person that I struggle with being king is me. As I look at my battle every day to walk in the spirit versus my flesh, it always comes back to I want me to be in the kingly place. See, the people of Israel wanted this king because they thought he would bring security. And you know what? It's true for me too. When I put me in the kingly place, it makes me feel more secure sometimes because I feel like I'm in control, right? We feel like we're in control. And if we can fix everything ourselves or if we can kind of set our own steps out ahead of us, then we'll be in the kingly place. The problem is that God calls us to a totally different life. And for those of you tonight who are kind of struggling through life like I am at times, and you're going, man, I've been trying to take life in my own hands, and I'm trying to be the most popular person. I'm trying to fix all my issues. I'm trying to escape from the pains of this world, and I'm trying to find other things to escape to. You have put yourself in a kingly place. And I would tell you, that's not the way God designed for us to be. And tonight, if I could give you a gift, I would tell you that a lot of us have this disease of being king. And we want it to be about us. And this king that the Israelites put in that kingly place, Saul, he had that same issue. And I want you to see tonight, we're going to look at him in a specific passage of scripture and how he handled himself. And I want you to ask yourself this question, is that like me? How am I like Saul? And you know what? I look at these passages, I go, man, that is me to a T. And so we're going to look at the symptoms of this me disease that all of us have. See, all of us were born in sin. All of us need a Savior, whether we realize it or not. Some of us tonight are deceived into thinking that I can do it on my own. I don't really need a Savior. And I can tell you the Bible gives a totally different picture of that, and we'll talk more about that tonight. So here's what I want to tell you. Some of us have great symptoms that we don't maybe even realize, but if you took a look at your life, you have symptoms right now of things in your life that you'd say, man, I have a me disease, and I'm full of me, whether it be my pride, my selfishness, or whatever else. And I'm going to give you a picture of Saul tonight from 1 Samuel 15 that's going to give you a real picture of a guy that had this same disease. He was the guy that people wanted, right? And guess what? For us, we want ourselves to be in that place. And it's a problem. And I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But look at 1 Samuel 15:3 for a minute. This is what God's telling Saul to do. This was the king that the people wanted. Okay, and so God tries to give him a shot here. He says, now, go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Boy, when you read that, you think, man, God is mean, or God is going to wipe people out. If you knew the wickedness of the Amalekites, and we don't have time to go on that tonight, you would trust the justice of our Lord, okay? But let me just say, he's telling Saul to go do that. Now, look on here at verse 7 and 8. Look what Saul does. 1 Samuel 15, 7 and 8. He says, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. Verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. So you see what happened. There's the big but in there, no pun intended, is that Saul, and we all have them, right? And I don't mean that in a physical sense, but we have in our ways, we go, man, we're going to have, Lord, I want to follow you, but this is how I want to do it. It's really not on your terms, it's on my terms. And that's where we miss it. It says, but Saul and the army spared. And so God said, wipe them out. And Saul, what happens is you look here, he decides, you know what? There's some good stuff there. There's stuff that looks really good to my eyes. Isn't that the way that from the very beginning, Satan tempted Adam, right, and Eve? Hey, there's something that looks really good to the eye. The apple looked good to the eye, and it looked good to taste. And their flesh took over. And this is what's going on here. God said, wipe them out. And Saul's going, man, there's a lot of good lifestyle. There's a lot of things we could sacrifice. God. He has all these reasons why he wants to do it. And he takes the king too, which he was told not to. And so I want you to know the symptoms of those of us who have this meat disease, first of all, is we may struggle with this denial that we did anything wrong. The first thing is just that we are disobedient to the Lord. That's a symptom. Okay? And you got to ask yourself, man, where have I been disobedient? By the way, everybody in this room is in that group. You've been disobedient to the Lord at one time or the other. But I would tell you, the way you handle that disobedience is what I want you to see the symptoms. When you're so full of yourself, and instead of owning up, I'm going to tell you right now with my boys, we are in the middle of when they mess up, they have the hardest time. I have a 7 and a 5, soon to be 8 and 6, and a little 2-year-old named Easton. And I would tell you, when they do something wrong, when we talk about it, they want to always have a reason, okay? And they don't ever want, and boy, tonight, Cooper got in trouble right before we came over here. And I said, Cooper, listen, if you would just own up to what you did, you'd be in a lot better place. And he was like, but Dad, you're being mean. You know, that whole deal. And I said, that's right. No. But so disobedience to the Lord, first thing. And so what happens is I want you to look at verse 13 and 14. Look what happens. We all read it. Saul was not obedient. You guys know when you've done wrong, don't you? How about with your folks? You know it most of the time, and you're going to have a lot of reason. How about with others? When somebody comes and confronts you maybe and loves you enough to say, hey, this is what I'm seeing in your life, and you're going to go maybe something like this. Here's what happens with my boys. Let me give you an example. Let me read this verse first. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Okay? So Samuel's leading out, man. He goes and meets Samuel and says, look, I've done what you've asked. Lord bless you. So, but Samuel said, what then is the bleating of sheep in my ears, and what is the lowing of cattle that I hear? He's busted. Okay? You ever been there with your folks, with others? You go, yeah, but hey, I did what you said. With my boys, it's, hey, I want you to clean your room. I want you to clean up your room. I want everything off the floor. I want you to make your beds. I want you to pick up your clothes. And I go in there, and it's like them coming out of the room and going, Dad, we made the beds. It was so great. We made the beds. We did exactly what you said. And I'll look around the corner and go, but why are all the clothes on the floor? And what about all the stuff on there? And so it's almost like when we know we're guilty, we'll lead out with the things we did do. But the reality is we just need to go, man, Lord, you said this, and I didn't do it. Or with others. Maybe someone comes to you and says, hey, you really hurt me. This is something you did. And instead of going, man, I blew it. We always want to go, but I did do that. I just wasn't quite what you said. And so I'd ask you, is that one of your symptoms when you're disobedient to the Lord? Is that, first of all, maybe the thing you do next is that you're playing the blame game. That's what my boys do too. You know, they go, well, Braden did this or he's this. You guys ever been there? I have. Lots of times. This is another symptom of you have a me disease, okay? When someone calls you in something, you know you've done the wrong thing. Look at 1 Samuel 15:15. Look what he says. Saul answered. Look at this. I love this. This is us. Saul answers, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Okay? You guys ever been there? You ever explained yourself like that? Hey, I know you're getting on me, but if you should have seen what they did. Maybe you feel that way with God sometimes. If you're just honest, you go, Lord, I've done most everything. What about all the people that aren't doing it at all? And see, well, the answer to that is many of those people don't have a relationship with Christ. So you shouldn't expect them to live that way. But those of us who have claimed to put our trust in Christ and have a relationship with him, our lives should look different. They just should. And so if you're quick to blame, you might go, man, I got a symptom of the me disease. I'm so worried about being wrong that I just can't ever admit that. Okay? So playing the blame game. Then the next one is this idea of justifying your actions. Did you see, let's go back to 15:15. Did you see what he said this? They spared the best of sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of that. Sam's is a place that we'll go. Everybody, you know, shop at Sam's many times, right? Well, for student ministry stuff, we will get a lot of stuff in bulk for retreats and that kind of thing. And we have a card that, because of Watermark, we have a card that allows us to go buy stuff tax-free because we're a nonprofit. Well, sometimes I'll go and I'll buy personal stuff for our house, and they'll always ask me, hey, is this tax-free or is it to be taxed? And I will say tax-free. I'm kidding, I won't. I will say, no, you need to put tax on this one. Okay, now if I wanted to justify, you know why I would do that? It's because I believe that's right. That's not lying. I don't believe God would have me do that. I'd be disobedient to the Lord to do that. Hold my calls, please, okay? I'd be disobedient to the Lord to do that. And so when they asked me, and you know what I could do? This is what Saul was doing. Listen to this. Notice how we justify things. This is what Saul was doing. He goes, you know what, Lord? We were going to spare those. We were going to sacrifice those things to you. It'd be like me thinking about that tax, Lord. Hey, if I tell them non-tax, we'll split the difference. Okay? The money that they would have taxed me, I'll give to the church. Okay? That'd be great. It's exactly what he's doing. He was doing the wrong thing. He wasn't being obedient to the Lord. And then he tried to kind of justify it. You ever been there? See, when we're full of ourselves, when we have this me disease, we want to justify, we want to blame, and we walk in disobedience. And God's going, man, I got a better deal for you. If you would trust me. See, what it really comes down to was Saul trusting that the Lord had a better deal. And I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that God has a better deal for you than your own offense. You being king is not God's plan. And I believe you're selling out and you're falling short of what God wants, and he wants you to have the best. John 10:10 says that. He wants us to have life to the abundant. So where have you done that this week? What are some of the symptoms you're struggling with? Well, I want you to notice Samuel's response. Okay, look at 17 through 19 here. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. You know what? Here's what I'd tell you. None of us are anything without Christ. You may think so, but you're not. Okay? And this is what he's saying to him as king. He goes, hey, the Lord's the one that gave that position, and he can take it away like that. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you've wiped them out. Verse 19 then says, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And you know what I'd ask us? When's the last time you pounced on the plunder, so to speak? That you just decided, hey, what I want is so much more important than what God wants. Man, I am guilty of that. This weekend, I'll give you a real practical example. I love college football, and I love pro football, okay? And I wanted to watch some games this weekend, but it was Cooper's 6th birthday, overnight lock-in extravaganza, okay? And it was exhausting, okay? But we had a video game party, and there were times after that was over, I go, I just want to sit here and watch a football game. And my kids are always going, Dad, you want to play? You want to go do something? You know, and I'm like, okay. And so I would just tell you that I am all about me a lot of the times. And I want to just do what I want to. In my flesh, I want to go, no, I don't. I want to just sit here. And sometimes that's okay. But in this case, God was saying, hey, do this. And he said, no, I see something good in my eyes, and I'm going to take it. And you know what? It cost him, and that is true for us. When we see things in our flesh and we go, man, that's what I want. Doesn't matter what the cost. Lord, it doesn't matter how it grieves you. I'm going to do whatever I want because it feels good and right. And I would tell you, there are a lot of hurting people out there running that offense where they are king. And I would just give you a gift tonight. Why did you pounce on the plunder? He's saying, why did you go away from what God wanted? And you know what? Right now, some of you are convicted, maybe. Those of you who know Christ, you know, you may go, man, I have been just letting my flesh get the best of me, and I'm convicted tonight that I need to change up. I need to go back to the Lord and go, Lord, I should have trusted you. You told me that there was going to be pain if I chase this other stuff. If that's you tonight, man, if you're convicted, I said, be convicted. Okay? So he says, why do you pounce? It looked good to his eyes, as you saw in that verse 9 we read earlier. See, here's the thing. To obey God has a cost with it. You know what? Sometimes I am such a wimp. I don't want to consider the cost. I don't want to do the cost thing. Because here's what I believe. When we obey him, like in this case, Saul, he had to give up some of the stuff that looked really good to his eyes. He goes, man, that's some great stuff. I want to keep the plunder for me. And God's going, you know what? Give it up. My deal's going to be better if you'll just trust me. When's the last time that following Christ cost you something, those of you who know him? See, if you don't know him tonight, I'll just tell you, man, I'd love to tell you about him. Because he has changed my life. And there are times when I fall back. There are times when I don't, when I'm not as obedient. But what I want to be quick to do is I want to be a guy who's quick to go back to the Lord and go, Lord, help me, I messed up. And I believe he'll respond to that in grace, okay, and want to help you back through that. So when's the last time? Ask yourself that question, that my relationship with Christ cost me something. Because I think that's what God, Christ said real clearly in the scripture, consider the cost when you come after me. It's costly. Okay, the fourth thing that I've seen that's another symptom, just stubbornness. Okay, look what Saul does here in verse 20. I love this. But I did obey, Lord. Here comes another but. Saul said, I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God at Gilgal. See, he just keeps holding his position. See, Saul needed at the very first, he needed to go, you're right. I didn't do right. And I believe he'd have been received totally different. But what he did, he kept holding his position. And that's a symptom of he was so full of his own pride and how he was going to appear that he kept doing that. Is that you? It's me a lot of times. And Lord, I have to confess to the Lord, man, I confess that it's sin. It's just when I am so full of myself that I'm really unteachable and I don't want anybody to talk to me. Okay, and I've got a lot to grow in myself there. Here's the cause. This is what I want you to hear more than anything tonight. The cause for Saul to do this and the reason he put himself as king over what God wanted to do is because he did what? Let's look at verse 24 here. We have that in there. Verse 24, it says this. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people. Hear that? I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. You know what? If I could tell you the cause of most of us putting ourselves in kingly places and trying to control and trying to work our own, run our own offices because we are afraid of the people. I'll give you a great example of this the other day. I was at Jimmy John's, a sandwich place, grabbing a BLT. Good sandwich, try it if you get a chance. And I was in there, and I come up and I'm wearing the junior high shirt that says give for nothing. And I have that, and this guy at the cash register looks at me and goes, give for nothing. He goes, that's funny. And I said, why don't you say it to my face? No, I didn't. But I went and he said, give for nothing. It's funny. And it was like the Lord was giving me a layup and I wasn't smart enough to go. And this is what I said. This was a real brilliant response, by the way. I was like, yes, that's right. Give for nothing. Okay. I mean, what a great job of communicating there. And I just said, yeah, that's right. I replayed that in my mind, just, you know, who knows how God's going to work, and I want to have my antenna up, but for that, I should have said, you know what, yeah, a group of students from our junior high at our church, man, we went down to New Orleans, and we served, and here's the deal, it's really for nothing in return, just like Jesus did for us, and died on the cross for us, and really there was nothing we could give him, it was all about him. I could have said that like that, and all I did was, yeah, give for nothing, okay? So don't take my lead on that next time someone says that about your shirt. Think of something better. There's a lot of good ones. Now, here's what I believe. The Spirit would have to grab that guy's heart. There'd have to be something there. But I just want to tell you, that's a missed opportunity. You know what I think was at the root of that? Maybe I'm just not the smartest guy. That could be part of it. But also, it could be just the fact that I was a little bit fearful of, okay, what if I say this? And what if he says this? And I won't know what to say. And you ever been there? Has God ever given you a layup and you didn't take it? Oh, man. I would love layup as a basketball analogy for the girls that are looking confused right now. So I don't know if he's given you that, but I would just tell you, man, take advantage of those times. be sensitive enough to the Spirit. And for me, the cause was for me for not doing what God would have me do there is just fear. I think there's some fear there. You know what? I believe fear is the biggest motivator today for you guys to not really follow Christ. I think your fear of what others will think. And you know what? It doesn't change when you get older either. But you have to continue to battle that and go, Lord, I don't want to be fearful. Who cares at some level? Not in an apathetic way, who cares, but man, I'd be willing to share my faith. So the cause was fear of the people. You know what you got to do? You got to sit with the Lord and just go, Lord, where am I fearful of others? And, you know, and that changes how we act. That changes how we handle ourselves around others. Makes us be someone we're not. Like Bodie, we've been kind of kidding around with that whole deal. He didn't really do that. And so we just got to be careful with that. Here's the medicine for this disease. Okay, I'm going to give you some good medicine tonight. Here it is. First of all, make room for your own sin. You know, if we go around thinking that, man, if every time somebody talks to you about something or if you're just not soft before the Lord, when young men talk to me, when I'm discipling guys or whatever, I said, well, if I could write two things on your heart, I'd write the word soft and I'd write the word teachable. Okay? I'd just write that on your hearts. If you would just remember the scripture talks about us being clay in the hands of the potter, right? Moldable, shapeable. And if we have got it all together and we go, Lord, I don't need you. I'm the king. I don't need you to change me and refine me and all those things. I've got it. We are going to miss out on what God wants to do and how he wants to teach us. And you know what? I've missed out because of my own hard heart and because of my own blaming others or my whatever else. So let me just challenge you and encourage you. Make room for your own sin. When someone confronts you, you know what I like to say to people when they do that? I like to say, you know what? That very well could be. I want to really think about that. Even if it's something maybe that I go right at that point I didn't necessarily see, I want to go, man, that could be true. I don't know my own heart sometimes. I have to make room for it, for my own sin. Second, be quick to seek forgiveness. Be quick to give forgiveness and quick to seek forgiveness. Okay, that's a missing piece for a lot of us, y'all, that we haven't. You might ask, when's the last time I asked somebody to forgive me for something? And if you go, well, I don't ever do that, then you must never wrong anybody. And I know that's not the case. So that's part of being someone that says, I'm not on the throne. I'm serving the King of Kings, not me the king. So I mess up, and I know I do, and I'm quick to ask forgiveness and seek forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 7:10, look at this verse. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. What that's talking about, when the Spirit convicts us and we go, man, Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I've grieved you and I just need to ask your forgiveness. That leads to salvation. That leaves no regret because you've put it in God's hands. All right? So great verse for you to look at tonight. Third thing, recognize and turn away from your idols. A little bit what we talked about last week. It's what have you put in kingly places? And if the idol's you, just confess that. Lord, man, I am just at the root of all that. It's always us. But if that's really where you're struggling right now, you go, Lord, I am so selfish right now, and I want to live for me, and I just got to confess that is not the way you call me to. That's not what you call me to. Fourth thing, last one. Recognize this. See clearly your position with Christ. Here's the problem. Some of us start out that we think we are pretty good people, and God just went, you know what? You're already doing good, and I'm just going to send my son to give you a little boost. Okay? That's not good theology. That's not good. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says in Romans 3 that none of us were righteous. There's not one who's good. So our position is this. We are dependent, all right, on Christ. Also, our position is we really don't have any rights. You go, but wait a minute. I've done a lot of good things. You've done enough bad, just like me, our sin, that one sin, has caused us to be guilty. And the only thing that makes us justified before the Lord in Romans 3 is the blood of Christ. Romans 3 would be a great chapter for you just to read and look at and try to understand. So we are guilty until we are justified by the blood of Christ. And here's the last thing. He is our only hope. He really is. And whether you realize that or not, I realize many of you are going to bow that. You're going to go, no, 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 I got it. And God's going, man, I've got a better deal for you. And you need to get over this disease of the me disease and really turn your life to me. The last thing I would share, that I was reading in 2 Timothy, the senior guys and I right now in my small group, we're going to go through 2 Timothy. And there's a verse in there that talks about where Paul says, I am a herald of the gospel. And you know what that means? That he is an officer of the king. Okay? Listen to what he said. I'm a herald of the gospel, an officer of the king. That's what a herald was. And so for us, that's what we've been called. We've been called to be someone who serves the King of Kings. We are on a mission for him. Not to serve ourselves, not to be all about us. Everybody else is doing that. That's a dime a dozen. But if we really want to represent Christ, we've got to die to ourselves. And we've got to say, Lord, this isn't about me anymore. King me, no longer. You are the king, and I want to serve you with all my heart and all my mind, all my strength. This week, you get a chance to do that. Do you guys realize what privilege that is? It's a privilege to serve Jesus Christ every day this week. I pray you'll do that. And if you don't know him, man, would you give me the honor or one of our leaders' honors to share with you what we found in Christ? We'd love to tell you about it. All right, let me pray for us. God, as I'm sharing this tonight, I'm just so convicted that I do all the things Saul does in this passage. And what I realized with Saul is the fear of the people, just like Saul, it drives me. I'm fearful of what others will think and maybe not concerned enough about what you think. And so, God, would you change me? Lord, would you change the hearts of these young people? Would you help us to be people who love you so much? We're so compelled by your love, we just can't help share you with others. We can't help but just recognize our faults because we go, man, we're just beggars. Like Todd said today, we're beggars who found food. We need to tell others where to find it. Jesus, you are only hope. We are, before we came to know you, we were guilty in sin. Your word says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. And we pray. Amen.